Today on Real Radio.
When we bear false witness against our neighbor, what are we doing? We are misrepresenting our fellow man. And God doesn't take that lightly. When we display, speak, live a life that is misrepresentative of who God is or what a person is in our lives, we're lying about God and man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, commandment number 9 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In other words, you shouldn't lie. We'll see in this study by Pastor Jack that not only is lying a transgression, but it's got to be among the worst because of the far-reaching damage that it causes. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more on the Ninth Commandment.
Matthew chapter 5, and Exodus chapter 20. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, Exodus chapter 20. I love the fact that when we say that, we're talking about Matthew, the New Testament, and Exodus, the Old Testament. Christians need to understand that there's no difference between the Old Testament and New Testament as being from God or not. The same God that gave Genesis 1:1 is the same God that gave Revelation 22. He's the same God. He doesn't change. And nowhere in those scriptures or in those verses does he even announce or even insinuate that he changes. In fact, he says the opposite. He says, "I am the Lord and I change not." The Bible says that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. And listen, the Ten Commandments, you know by now, have been given by God to reveal to mankind his righteousness and our sinfulness. And there's no insult that comes from God to us regarding that. What do you mean? You just said that we're sinners. That's what you're implying. I'm not implying that we're sinners. I'm declaring that we're sinners. None of us are perfect. And a person who might think they're perfect would be the person that's most delusional about their sinfulness. We need the Savior, Jesus Christ. We need the Lord who, amazingly enough, opens up, as it were, the heavens and says, "I love you and I want you with me, but we have a big problem. The big problem is you've been separated from me and my eyes are too pure," Habakkuk says, "to behold evil. I can't look at it, but I want you with me, but I got a problem. The problem is my love wants you here, but your sin keeps you out of where I want you to be. What's the remedy? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life." And Jesus is the bridge that brings broken man to a holy God. And we enter into heaven based solely upon his righteousness. I am hiding from you tonight. I have concealed my Caucasianness by the shirt I'm wearing. If I took my shirt off, you would be repulsed and begin to vomit profusely over how not tan I am. That's not even mentioning that there's gravity has 53 years upon my body. You would say, "Please, please, no, put your shirt on. Save us." Why? Because this covers up the grotesqueness of me. Don't laugh. It applies to all of you, too. You thought I was going to take that hit by myself? You're grateful, I'm grateful that you have a covering tonight called clothes. But regarding sin, Jesus Christ covers us with his righteousness. That's why the Bible says that we need to put on Christ. You need to put him on, and you do that by faith. Faith's a funny thing. We want to argue with God about faith, yet we exercise faith all the time. We get in our cars, we never even think about it. I mean, I hope you don't have to think about it. Where you put in the key and you turn it over. Car starts up, drive down the street. You don't even think about it. We strap ourselves into an airplane. Don't even think about it. I'm reading the newspaper while I'm taking off in an airplane. I'm trusting that thing to work. There's so much you and I do that's based purely upon faith in that thing. And God says, okay, now, put faith in me. In the economy, in this world of evil, in this world of danger, in this world, hearing tonight, Iran is going to send warships to the seaboard, the eastern seaboard of the United States. Pentagon's concerned about that. Well, okay, they can be concerned about it. And it's something to be concerned about. But I'm not going to worry about it. You say, well, I'm not concerned about Iranian warships. I'm concerned about my mortgage payment. I understand that. Put your faith in God and follow him. Yeah. Trust him with every aspect of your life at all times and watch what happens. He will never abandon you. Tonight we looked at the ninth commandment, and the ninth commandment has all to do with keeping word, keeping true. Tonight, the ninth commandment is this. Matthew chapter 5, first of all, Jesus said, verse 17, don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. That's the Old Testament. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And what are we talking about tonight? The ninth commandment, which is again a horizontal commandment. That means it's our dealing with our fellow man. Exodus 20, look at it, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie, is the meaning of that word. The word in the actual Hebrew is you shall not commit perjury. That's where we get the word from. But in the Hebrew, the word perjury for us is a far, far more expansive word. And so thus, God gives us the teaching tonight. What this horizontal commandment is to our fellow man, it's what the vertical third commandment in the Bible, here, Ten Commandments, the third commandment is in a vertical sense. Exodus 20, verse 7, just look up a few verses. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It would be wrong for us to commit perjury in the sense that we are lying against ourselves and against another and against God, just as it is to lie about God in this third commandment, equal to the ninth commandment regarding us taking the Lord's name in vain. That is misrepresenting God. When we take the Lord's name in vain, we misrepresent him. When we bear false witness against our neighbor, what are we doing? We are misrepresenting our fellow man. And God doesn't take that lightly. When we display, speak, live a life that is misrepresentative of who God is or what a person is in our lives, we're lying about God and man. And whenever you and I misrepresent someone, we are in fact defrauding them. And by the way, many scholars today, when we consider what we're looking at in the ninth commandment, closely relate this ninth commandment with the eighth commandment, which states, we looked at it last week, thou shalt not steal. If I lie about you and your reputation, I am actually stealing from you your name, your value, your status. You may have worked hard to maintain a good name. The Bible says a good name is to be valued more than gold, more than precious stones. But if somebody turns around behind your back and slanders you, they're robbing you. They're not only robbing you, the Bible tells us here that we are lying about someone. So by way of introduction, what is it to lie? What is it to lie? What's interesting is, listen to this. Before we answer what is it to lie, it is not. Please mark this down. This is very serious. What lying is not a matter of different opinions. If somebody disagrees with your opinion, if they don't agree with you, that's not a lie. A preference, a difference of preferences is not a lie. If I tell you or if I say to you, it was a wonderful day today, beautiful day, you might say, you liar, it wasn't either. It was 84 degrees today, and that's not wonderful to me. That's not a lie. We need to be very smart about what we're talking about here. We are talking specifically about a very specific sin. Yes, it is broad, but we need to be careful when we talk about what is lying. Lying is definitely not a personal assessment or value of something. What do I mean by that? You might say this about something. Over here, someone might say the other thing about it. Your differing preferences, opinions, or views are not one's telling the truth and one's not telling the truth. You understand what I'm saying? It sounds kind of silly to even mention this, but believe it or not, it's often viewed as such. Listen, you've all heard this. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think that's beautiful. I think he's beautiful. I think she's beautiful, somebody might say. Well, are you crazy? That guy's lying. She's as ugly as a stick. That's not a lie. We need to just be very careful and we need to calm down. Lying must have as a motive or an intent that is to do injury, to do damage, to hurt, to deceive, to mislead, and to manipulate. God says that he hates it. Listen to this. When you do a word study online, you will find the word gossip regarding lying, exaggeration regarding lying, embellishment regarding lying. But matters of opinion, you may have thought that it was a fantastic, beautiful day when somebody doesn't. One person is not exaggerating or embellishing, and the other person is not necessarily sinning by downplaying the beauty of the day. It's a matter of preference. You understand? The great difference is embellishment, gossip, exaggeration, those are lies. How big was that fish? It was that big! That's a lie. Why? What kind of lie? It's an embellishment. We need to understand this as we look into it. Now listen to this. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, I have to give you this. It's so volatile. I think I'm going to get in trouble for even saying it. But he's such a, he is a great man of God now too. He's in heaven now, but listen to this. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I'm going to blame it on him because he's the one who said it, so don't take it out on me. Regarding gossip and exaggeration and embellishment, J. Vernon McGee said, women can keep a secret just as good as a man can. It just takes more women to keep it. Again, Dr. J. Vernon McGee said that. The ninth commandment, number one, here we go, let's look at it. Why is lying a sin? Why is lying a sin? Every one of us, listen, every one of us has a problem with lying. Every one of us. And you say, Pastor, don't indict me on that. No. Every one of us, I may not know all of you personally, but I know this. According to the Bible says every one of us are liars. Did you know that? He said, I can't believe I came here tonight. I drove all this way to get insulted like this. The Bible says every one of us are liars. We have it within us to lie. We start out from the youngest ages lying. We have to tell our kids to tell the truth. Because why? Because they're little stinking liars. They are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And so are you and I. Now, none of us as Christians embark out on a day to lie. But we lie. We hate to admit it. You say, I don't know. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. It's a fact. How so? Why is lying a sin? Number one, jot it down, because it attempts to oppose God. The very will of God is for righteousness to prevail. When we lie, it attempts, or we are making an attempt, to go against the very will of God. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. That's an awesome verse. You know what that means? Cheer up, get excited about this. God cannot lie. It's impossible. Are there things impossible for God? Yes. He can't sin. Well, you know, how great is your God if he can't sin? Hello? He can't sin. He can't lie. He cannot lie. What God says, nothing but the truth can come out of him. And you trust him. Jesus said that lying has a spiritual DNA in us as humans. Did you know that? John chapter 8, verse 42. Remember the Pharisees, the religious rulers of Israel, were attacking Jesus. And they're mocking his lineage. It's quite graphic language, by the way, in John chapter 8. I can't say the word that they used. It's just too inflammatory. But they accused him of being a son of a woman who had no husband. And that's what they accused Jesus of. Imagine telling God that to his face. And Jesus said to them, John 8:42, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" Listen to this. "Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning." Really, who did Satan ever kill? He shot Adam and Eve right through the heart with words. Did he not? "And does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Literally, in the Hebrew or the Greek, Jesus is saying Satan is the father of all lies. There's a spiritual DNA that links us back to our past life before we came to Jesus. It's a sin because it's a human resource that is based upon a falsehood to either protect ourselves or to destroy another for our own self-interest or the interest of our cooperator. If someone is with us to perpetrate some crime, as it were, be it a crime to abuse someone's name, to gossip or exaggerate about someone or something, or to rob a bank, we are partners in crime when it comes to this thing called lying. And the Bible says that the crime is native to the entire human race. Satan said it, interestingly enough, and I think it's the only truth that ever came out of his mouth, when in the book of Job, Satan said, "Skin for skin, a man will do anything to save his own skin." Is that not true? Yeah. Think about it. Unless you've been redeemed, unless you have a higher purpose for living, unless you have seen by faith the glories of God that awaits the children of God who follow him, you will sell out. And Satan knows it. And one of those things is to tell a lie. Do you remember Peter? Peter said three times, "I swear, I do not even know the man." Why? To save his own skin. David lied in the Bible over and over again. Did not King David lie? And yet, thank God, in his repentance, the Lord says, "This is a man after my own heart." So tonight, maybe you're a big fat liar tonight, and you say, "There's no hope for me." And God would say to you tonight, "You just repent of that sin, and you come and follow me, and you'll be a man or woman after my own heart." What an awesome God we have. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, Genesis 3:1, "Now the serpent was more cunning or subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman," it always amazes me that a snake back in those days talked and Eve thought it was nothing wrong with it. "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die." Lie! Do you ever see Princess Bride, the movie? Liar! If you've not seen the movie, you don't know what I'm talking about. You got to see the movie. Liar! "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And the story goes on. Eve says, "That's what I want to be like. I want to be like a God." She was deceived, and Adam said, "Honey, you're such a hottie, I'm going to go wherever you go. I mean, you're my girl." She was only one, but where are you going to go? Why is lying a sin? Number two, because it attempts to justify a wrongful act. Lying is a sin because it attempts to justify a wrong. When are people most prone to lie? When they're busted. Why do you think they invented lie detectors? Because somebody got busted and they wired them up. Man, I got to tell you something. I can only tell you so much about this. If I tell you the truth, I'll have to kill you. In Israel, I've met people who are profilers, and they are living, breathing, walking lie detectors. It was awesome. They can look at you, they can talk to you. And I understand that, like, for example, the CIA, Homeland Security, DHS, they have the same kind of thing going on. But it's funny how many of our people have gone to Israel to be trained. They have a way, and it's top secret. They have a way. Anybody talking to you? Hey, so, hey, how you doing? You know who you're talking to. Hey, so what's up? And they have all this stuff they've been trained to look for. And if a human can detect a liar, imagine God. When we're going, yeah, you know what, man? It was the best ever. It was so amazing. And we're thinking, it was really, really wasn't that hot, but I'm just going to make, you know, it was. And God goes, wasn't that big of a deal? Or you get caught. Little kids with the hands in the jar. And they're amazing because they have the hand in the jar. They have crumbs around their mouth. Are you eating those cookies? And they go, no. No. What's your hand in? How did that happen? Isn't it amazing? That shows you even that we are not only related to Adam and Eve, but that we've come from God. It's amazing. We are tempted to lie to justify a wrong. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And God among the tree, in presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" No doubt getting to provoke, having Adam maybe provoke or offer up a confession. So he, Adam, said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And the Lord said, "Who told you you were naked? Why have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And then the man said, listen, why is lying a sin? Because it attempts to justify wrongful act. And the man said, "It's that woman you gave me. She gave me from the tree, and I ate." Verse 13, "And the Lord said to the woman, 'What's this you've done?' And the woman said, 'It's that stinking snake you made. Look, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Adam goes, "It's that woman, God. You get her." And the woman says, "Don't blame me. It's that snake." And the snake's like, you see the blame? You're busted. You lie.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at number 9 of the 10 commandments, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's a pretty hard look into the far-reaching damage that's caused when we commit the transgression of lying. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series on the 10 commandments, as found in Exodus chapter 20. Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so please be sure to join us. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can check out Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And look for the program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our half-hour television program, Journey with Jack Hibbs. But did you also know that on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek study live? That's hischannel.com. That's Wednesday nights at 7:30 West Coast time. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.